Welcome to the Center Ranch Church Weekly Podcast. We believe that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Thanks so much for checking out the podcast. Here's this week's message.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. It's good to be here. Super Bowl Sunday. But I have a confession to make. I have no idea who's playing. I know one person, Tom Brady, right? I think, okay. Just making sure that it wasn't Peyton Manning, you know. For everybody who hates Tom Brady, you're probably glad that I. But no, that's, it's funny because, the only reason I know that is because people just hate Tom Brady. I don't know enough to know why, but they hate him. But I think, San Francisco is playing, the 49ers, and somebody else. So anyways, I'm just excited for the buffalo chicken dip. We're going to be watching it later, and my wife made some buffalo chicken dip. So that's probably on the warm setting now. Can't wait for that. So anyways, we're going to have a good day today. One of the most frustrating things that is probably on the face of the planet is a Rubik's Cube. Have you ever played with any of those things before? Yeah. So I remember the first time I had ever messed with the Rubik's Cube. We were on our way to Florida for vacation. So driving there from West Virginia to Florida, 14-hour drive, perfect time to mess with a Rubik's Cube. So I remember just being so frustrated with that thing, or just wanting to throw it out the window. My dad always jokes, I know how to solve one of those. You just take the stickers off and then you put, move. Frustrating. I was talking to Andrew Ward. He's one of our students. And he was telling me how he has, I'm not even going to be able to say this right, it's like a dodecahedron. He could tell you what it is. And it's like a 10-sided Rubik's Cube. What? Right? If you've ever messed with one of them before, then you know how frustrating it can be to just be like, oh my gosh, you're supposed to be able to solve all six sides. You're like, I can't even get one side. What is wrong? It's really, really frustrating. You have something you want to do. You know you're supposed to be able to do it, but it's just like, man, it's not working out. That's one thing, right? Of course, when it's a Rubik's Cube, a stupid game that you can literally just throw away and never see again, right? But it's another thing to get to that place in life, right? Where we feel like, man, we've done everything we know that we can do. And it's just like, no matter what we do, no matter what turns we make, it's just not working out, right? Marriage, we've tried everything we can. Gone to counseling, we've been very intentional about going on dates and doing things, but it's just like, man, it's just not working out. Come to the place where you're frustrated and you're just like, man, there's no way that this is going to play out. And so that's why people get divorces, right? Just come to the place where they think there's no option, there's no solution. They've exhausted all of their options. With addiction, right? People, they struggle. And it's like, man, there's no way that I'm ever going to be able to get out of this thing. I've been in it for years. I'm still struggling. I've gone to all the meetings. I know everything. It's just like, I can't break it. I can't get through it. Or even with things like with healing, right? We go to the doctors and we do everything that we're supposed to do, but then we get the report back, right? Listen, there's nothing else that we can do, right? There's no hope. We've exhausted all of our options. It's a terrible, terrible place to be in life. But, God has a solution. God has a way that when we feel like we've exhausted all of our options, that we've gone through everything that we know humanly to do, that everything we can do is still not working, we're at the end of a rope, and it's like, you know what? I guess this is just how it's going to have to be. I guess I'm just going to have to try to figure out how to live with this disease. I'm going to have to try to figure out how to live with a marriage that's broken, a husband that doesn't love me. I guess I'm just going to have to try to figure out how to make this work. But God has a solution. God has an answer for us. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to start reading in verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. God is saying, hey, I have thoughts, ways of doing things, solutions that you as a human, you know nothing about, that I have ways that when you feel like you're at the end of your rope, that there is something higher, there is a solution, there is an answer for you, that our situation where we're at, there's actually something higher. He says, my ways are higher. Now, oftentimes people will come to this verse and they'll use it almost from a place of lack, and they'll see it from a place, well, you know what? God's ways are just higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I guess there's just some things in life that we're just going to have to, you know, we're just not going to know. On this side of heaven, you know, there's just going to be some things that we just never find out. Some things we just never access. But that's actually not what God is saying here. Look back with me. He says, In verse 7, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. So that word forsake, it means to stop, right? To stop and to change. And so he's saying that, listen, I want you to stop thinking your ways and stop your way of thinking and stop your way of doing things for my way of thinking and my way of doing things. That God is literally, he's calling us, right? If his place is higher, he's calling us to think like him. He's calling us to his level of operating, of his level of doing things. You know, in fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about how God has already made available everything we need for a life for life in godliness. He's already made it. He wants us to operate on a level, and he's saying, I've already made available everything that you need for life. And anything you can think of, from finances to health to marriage, everything we need, God has the solution already available for us. It's already available for us. And godliness, it says, life and godliness, that every matter of sin, God has a solution already there available for us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says that we have been blessed. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Not will be, we have been blessed. That it's already ours. We have access to it. It says blessings where? The spiritual realms, in the heavenly realms. That every blessing that's in heaven, every good thing that's in heaven, right? Peace, love, joy, no more crying, no more tears, right? Healing, prosperity, right? Streets of gold. Everything that's in heaven, right? We have been blessed with it. We have been blessed with it. You know, Paul, the apostle, he talks about how he's praying for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, I pray that you would know. I pray that you would know. God wants us to know, right? He wants us to be on his level. I pray that you would know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, right? His exceedingly great power for us who believe. That God wants us to operate up on his level. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Another scripture. I'm going to start reading in verse 10, Proverbs 4:10. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Man, that's good. God wants us to live like without stumbling, without being held back. It says, take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. They're the key to life. That God has ways of doing things, you know, thinking and thoughts that's higher than ours. Solutions that we might not know about, that we can't have. He says that's like the key to life. The key. So I got a little key here this morning, just for all the visual people, a little skeleton key. God says, I have the key to life. My instructions, my ways, my thoughts, they're the key to your life, right? A key, right, gets you in the door that you need to get into, right? That he's got a key that'll give us access to abundance in any economy. Praise the Lord. He's got a key that'll give us access to that love that we need in that marriage. He's got a key for everything that we need to get into. But then also sometimes, right, keys is not just to get you in place, it's to get you out of a place. He's got a key to get you out of that place of addiction, to unlock that lock. He's got a key, a solution for us that we can have, right? When nobody else has the key, when nobody else has the key, God's ways are higher. When nobody else has the key, God's got a key. God has a key. He's got a solution, but his ways are higher. His ways, his solutions are higher. They're higher. So oftentimes things that are higher, right? If we're wanting to get access to them, the problem is that we can't see them, right? Things that are higher, oftentimes the problem is that we can't see it. So the other day, Alyssa, she was looking for, I believe it was baking powder, I think is what it was. And she was getting ready to cook. She was getting her to make dinner. And she was looking for baking powder. And so, you know, she's like looking in all the cabinets. She's like, you know, she's looking everywhere for it. And a part of the context is that we've recently moved. And so she's been telling me about how she's got to figure out, like, you know, where she wants to put things. That's like where she was used to things before. Now it's just like it's everywhere. And she's having a harder time finding things. And so she's like looking for it. She yells for me and she says, hey, have you seen this anywhere? And I was like, no, I have no idea how to cook. I'm just the worst. You don't want me cooking. So I had no idea where the baking powder was. So I said, I've got no idea. And so I come in to like help because she's like, I thought for sure that like I had some. Like we went to the store the other day and I didn't buy any because like I thought for sure that I had some. So I walk in and she does this. Maybe you can relate. She opens the cabinet door, the bottom cabinet. She puts her foot on it. And then she like stands up and then like looks at like the top cabinets. Any short people relate? Any ladies? Right? Hashtag short people problems. It's like a solution. You like put your foot there and then climb up on the counter. So she stood on something and then she was able to see it, right? She was able to like, oh, it's there. I didn't think it was there, but it is there. The problem was, right, it wasn't that it wasn't there. It was just that she didn't see it. Now the same is true with us and our relationship with God and when it comes to God's keys and to God's promises. That it's not that the solution and the answer, the ingredient, it's not that it's not in the cabinet. It's that, and now you're going to have to bear with me. I'm tall enough that I can see this. So it's not that it isn't there. It's that it's higher. It's higher, right? It's higher. So we need something to stand on to be able to see it, right? Now Alyssa, right? She could have just operated at this level, right? Let's say she didn't stand, get up and look, and then was able to find what she needed. She could have just said, "Well, you know what? Maybe we don't have any." If she would have never been able to see it, well, what would she have done? She would have tried to just continue on without it. Now, I don't know anything about cooking, but if something's calling for baking powder, you should probably put baking powder in it. Right? She was going to have to resort to try to make something else, do something else. It wouldn't have turned out good, right? And that, you know, that's the point that people get to in life, the point of frustration. We're just like, okay, you know what? They can't really see what God has. So I guess we're just going to have to try to figure out how to do life without it. And like cooking, you don't want to do that. You know, there is a solution that God has. We don't have to settle for just like with missing ingredients in life. We don't have to settle for missing solutions. You know, we don't have to live life like that. We can live life God's way, the higher way that God has. There is a solution. There is a key that we can access, that we can have. We just have to be able to see it. And so just like Alyssa, We need something to stand on, because when you stand on something, it changes your perspective. You can begin to see things that you weren't able to see before, right? Like down here, it's hard to see the people in the back, but as soon as I stand up here, now I can see there is a person in that seat over there. You begin to see things that you couldn't see before. Lissa, she stood up on the counter. She was able to see what she had all along, that it was there this entire time, but she just needed to stand on something to then see from a new, different perspective. And then equally, right, she was able to then reach it, right? Once she saw that it was there, she was able to reach it. So we need, God has promises, he has ways, he has blessings for us to access and to live in. He's got a key that'll unlock the door that we need, but we have to stand on something to elevate us to his level to see it. That's why God has given us his word. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start reading in verse 24. So therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So this is comparing, Jesus is talking about, right, the two different places where people build their lives, right? One person builds their lives on sand, which is, he's saying, a life without the word of God. And so that person, right, because it's sand, right, they fall apart. They're not firm. But the word, when we build our lives on the word, when we stand, if you will, on the word, then we're firm, right? Like when winds come and streams rise and whatever, we're firm. We're not shaken. So there's an aspect of firmness to this, but there's also an aspect of an increase in elevation as we stand on the word. Because see, ocean level, right? The sand, that's the lowest level of elevation that there is, right? You can't get any lower than ocean level. So to stand on ocean level, right? To stand on the sand, to build our lives on the sand, we're standing at the lowest place in life that we can possibly stand. A lack of elevation, like the lowest place, a lowest place of understanding, a lowest place of revelation. But then naturally, right? So sand is the lowest there is in terms of elevation, but rock, it's naturally at higher levels of elevation, right? And I love that the King James Version really brings this out, because it says, it uses the word upon, not just who are on, they build their foundations on the rock, but like up on, right? It's like up on the rock. So we have this idea that as we stand up on the word of God, as we stand on the word of God, it's meant to increase our elevation. It's meant to increase what we can see. It gives us that perspective change that we were talking about, the ability to reach things we couldn't reach before. That as we stand on the word of God, right, that is meant to have an effect, to take us up to that next level that God has for us, that is meant to take us up so that we can access the key that we need. It's meant to take us up higher, that we don't have to settle here, but that at the place of lack of understanding, where we feel like, man, I guess this is how life is going to have to be. No, we can stand on the word of God and see things begin to change in our life, and see things that we never saw before come into understanding that we previously never had. I remember the first time we'd ever experienced this was with our daughter, Aria. So we had been reading books on divine healing. We had come across it, just the idea of divine healing. And so we began, reading into it, studying the word of God upon it. A really great book that just breaks down all the scriptures is T.L. Osborne's Healing the Sick. We actually sell it in the bookstore. That's a phenomenal book. And so we're like listening to preaching, we're digging into the word, right? We're standing on the word. And, slowly but surely, right, we know what it says, and then we begin seeing, like, wait a second, we don't have to be sick. And I was saying, this came at the time whenever our first daughter, Aria, was born. And so what happened there was she had baby jaundice, which isn't that big of a deal. A lot of babies are born with jaundice, but her condition continued to get worse. So if you know anything, they like put them under these blue little lights, put the goggles on them, and you know they stay there for a couple of days, and whatever's in their blood, those lights like break it down so that you know it. They're fine. Well, the lights weren't working at all. They weren't breaking down the bilirubin. And so her problem, it not only like dissolved and her blood levels didn't just get lower or stay the same, they actually continued to go higher. So it got to the place where the doctors came to us and they were saying, listen, we've done all that we can do here at UHC. We're going to have to send you further on to Ruby and maybe try blood transfusions. We don't know what's going on here. Usually the lights work, but we don't know why it continues to rise. And they say the lights, usually they drop it, but they're just almost like keeping it at bay. That if we like take her out, they said your daughter, she could have cerebral palsy. She could they were like throwing out some serious words. This is really, really bad. And so we had been standing on the word, praise the Lord. And so because we were standing on the word, we were able to see, wait a second, we don't have to have this. We don't have to have this. And so my wife, she was like kind of, she's a registered nurse. And so she was kind of talking to all the doctors and everything. And we look at each other and we're like, wait a second. We have come to this point where like, my daughter can't be sick. And so I like say it. And so she's like, all right, like she's not going to be sick. And so she takes her out of the billy bed, looks at the nurse and says, test her again. And so they were like, well, we just tested her. And Alyssa was like, I don't care. God has healed her. I see what God has for me in the word of God. And she says, test her again. And so they tested her again and praise the Lord. She was healed. Literally her blood levels, praise the Lord. Her blood levels went from 22, 23, somewhere around there. It dropped it to 12. The nurse comes in and is like, we don't know what to tell you, but her levels are normal. And we were like, well, we know what it was. It's Jesus. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. Praise the Lord. And she says, she was like, oh my gosh, you're like giving me cold chills. We got to witness to the lady. Praise the Lord. God watches over his word to perform it. Can you say amen? It's God's word. It's meant to change our perspective. It's meant to change what we can see, that we can have, we realize, oh my gosh, I have provision. I don't have to be poor. Praise the Lord. Right? We see things, we begin to see things in the word that we couldn't see before. Not just know about things, see things. There's a difference. There's a difference between seeing it and knowing about it. So Aria, she's now my daughter. She's now almost four, but she's still not tall enough to see the handles on the sink, like the kitchen sink. She knows that they're up there. She knows that they're there, that there's these things that you can grab and turn them and then the water comes out, but she is not tall enough to be able to see them. And so since she's not tall enough to be able to see them, I almost knocked my water off first service. I better be careful. Let's move that down here. Since she's not tall enough to be able to see them, what ends up happening is she's like, she grabs for them. And all she can do is hope that she gets a hold of it. She can't because she's not high enough, right? She needs something to stand on to then see it, to then grab it. Because when she's just on her own, right, she can't see it. So she is only hoping that she grabs a hold of it. And that's a really dangerous place to be, right? Especially around the sink, because there could be a knife she grabs a hold of. Maybe she turns on the hot water and like burns her hands off. You know what I mean? That's just hoping is a dangerous, really dangerous place to be. And that's where Christians often unfortunately find themselves, that when they can't see what's in God's word, they know about it, right? They know about it. They're like, yeah, I know what the scriptures say. They know about it, but they can't see it. So then they're just like hoping for it. But that's dangerous because you could get lucky. You could say, you could grab it the one time, be like, yeah, I got healed. And then the next time you need to access what God has. Like, well, wait a second, why isn't this working? Hold on a second. Well, it's because there's a difference between seeing and just knowing about it. We have to make that transition from just knowing about the word of God to then seeing what God's word says. And that is what God's word is meant to do. It's meant to take us up, not just to a place of hoping, not just to a place of vain grasping for it. It's meant to take us, right? It's a promise. It's meant to take us to a place of seeing, a place of faith, right? We're not talking about physical eyes here, right? We're talking about spiritual eyes, right? That faith is a spiritual sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's not saying we don't walk without vision. Our vision is our faith. We see faith is our spiritual eyes. So God's word is meant to bring us up to a place of seeing so that we can have it, so that we can possess it, so that we can grab a hold of it. Not a place of hoping and knowing, a place of seeing. And so if we are in a place of knowing and hoping, we have to press into the word of God and to say, you know, this isn't for me. Praise the Lord. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3. It says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds. This is talking about our desires, your hearts, your desires, and our mind. Like what we're actively thinking about, what we actively want. We have to set our heart on it. This is an instruction. Setting your heart on it. On what? On things above. On things up here. And so if we're operating in a place of knowing and just hoping, We have to set our heart. I have to have this. I have to have this key. I'm not just going to settle for just knowing about it. We stirring up a desire, setting our heart on it. That God, that there are, you have ways that are higher than my ways. You have thoughts that are higher than my thoughts, and begin to press into the word to say, God, I've got to go higher. There's things that you know that I don't know, God. There's solutions that you have that I don't know. I have to press into the word. So God, I have to be able to access this. I don't want to live down here, God. I want to live at the place that you want for me. Right? If there's a higher place, Pastor Luke has been saying it. If there's a higher place, I want to go there. If there's a further place, I want to go there. If there's a deeper place, God, I have to have the key that you say that I can have. God, I have to have it. A desire. You know, Paul, we've been preaching out of this verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, where Paul talks about, he says, I press on to the things that God has called me heavenward. But he says, not that I have already attained it. See, I press on not because I've already attained it. So he knows that he hasn't attained it, therefore he's pressing. So maybe a battle then in having that desire to press into God's word is maybe thinking that we've already attained it. That we've already reached, we're already up here. We feel like, okay, maybe, I know the scriptures, I know what it says, and maybe we have this idea that we're like, you know, we're kind of at it. But when we feel like we've attained it, we're not going to press into it. And, you know, I don't think people just go around thinking, well, I know everything God knows, so don't really need to read my word. I don't think people think like that. I think it's more unconscious. It's like an unconscious pride, you know, because we're talking about humility here, right? That we have to, God, you know things that I don't know. I haven't attained it. God, your ways are higher than my ways. You've got solutions I know nothing about. So we have to have that humility, but sometimes that pride manifests in just simply not asking. Not asking God is a form of pride. That if we find ourselves just going through life, trying it our own way, trying to figure things out, even think about a car, right? Like, like seeking God's will about a car. If we are not, then what are we really saying? If we don't ask, it's something as simple as a car. If we don't ask God, what do I do? And then what are we saying? Well, I don't really need your instruction. I don't need you to show me which car I need to buy. That's a form of pride, right? Not asking God is a form of pride. So we have to have that, God, lose that, get humility and say, God, there's things in your word. You have things that I need. God, I need you to show me. I need the solutions that you have. So begin to press, just press into the word, press into the word, build our lives on the word so that we can begin to see them. So how can we do that? Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Praise the Lord. So, a little bit of context. Joshua, he's in a place where really he needs something more than his own abilities. He's leading the Israelites. They're getting ready to take the land of Canaan, getting ready to take the promised land. And there are giants that are there. And then we read the first place they go in is Jericho, and its walls are huge, and it's like not impenetrable. And so Joshua's at a place where he's like, he's reached his max. He needs something further. And so God, he points him to his word. God points Joshua to his word, and he says, in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So he points him to his word and he says, meditate on it. He says, think about it. He doesn't say, you're just going to need to know my word. You're probably going to want to have a copy of this written down somewhere, maybe an extra copy. He doesn't like make a passing reference to the word and to God's instructions. He says, meditate on it. Meditate on the word. Think on it. That to take us from that place of knowing to seeing is meditating on the word. What does that look like? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 15. What does it look like to meditate, to sit there, to think on the word, if that's what takes us and builds us up higher? So Joshua 15, verse 16, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. He says, when your words came to me, I ate them. In other words, I chewed on them. That meditating on the word is just like chewing. You're just chewing on the word. You're getting it in you. You're building your life on it, not just knowing it. You're like sitting there thinking it. You're pondering on it. Now, when you want to eat something, you don't shove a ton of food in your mouth, right? That's a good way to choke. We have to tell our daughters that. Well, it's like, oh, you have four grapes in your mouth. What are you doing? I'm just kidding. Alyssa, cuts are grapes. Okay, it's all right. But you don't just put a bunch of food in your mouth. Why? Because then you can't chew it. So if we're going to meditate on the word and to press into the word this year, then we have to small bites. Little bites. That people have this idea that if I'm pressing in the word, I've got to read like 7,000 scriptures and read 10 chapters a day. No. The way that Joshua was going to have good success, the way that he was going to see the things that he needed to see, the way that he was going to have the success that he needed, find the key to beat the giants, find the key to knock down those really big walls. The way that he was going to have that success was to meditate on it. To chew, just to spend time just chewing, just a little bit, just chewing on the word of God. Now, maybe you want to read like 7,000 chapters a day, and I guess that's fine, but we have to make it a point to say, okay, I'm going to take just like a little piece. God, what is it? What is just one thing that you want me to think about today? What is just, most of the time I just read until God like speaks something to me. Like I see something's right there. Hold on a second. I'm going to like chew on this a little bit and just chew on it, eat it. And then it gets down to you. And as it gets down into you, then it builds you up. You begin seeing things you couldn't see before, living at a higher level, chewing on small pieces. Praise the Lord.
Well, that's this week's message. Thanks for joining us. To stay connected with us throughout the week, make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You can also watch previous week's services on our YouTube page.